Well, how do you do, young Quilly McBride? Do you mind if I sit now down by the roadside and rest for a while with a warm summer sun? I've been working all day and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great fallen in 1916. I hope you died well and I hope you died clean, or your Willie McBride was it slow and obscene. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did you leave her a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful hearts is your memory enshrined. Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed in forever behind a glass frame? In an old photograph, torn, battered and stained, and faded to yellow in a brown leather frame. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun now it shines on the green fields of France. There's a warm summer breeze that makes the red poppies dance. And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gun firing now. But here in this graveyard it is still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sun. To man's blind indifference, to his fellow man, to a whole generation that were butchered and damned. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Oh, young Quilly McBride, I can't help wonder why all those who I hear now, did they die? Did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this world would end war? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
Thank you, Emily and Adam, for that wonderful start to our time together this morning. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of remembrance on this Remembrance Sunday. This morning's service will consist of readings and reflections. There won't be a sermon as such, as I want to leave other people's words to just sit there and be listened to and heard. The order of service has a number of intimations, just to point out one or two of them. This afternoon there is a short service at the Deeside Care Home at 2:30, and as always, members of the congregation are very welcome to go along and join in that too. This evening, a festival of remembrance service will take place at Manorfield Church at 6:00. This has been organised by the cluster group of churches that we are part of. And again, a warm invitation to anyone who would like to come along and join in that as well. Later this week, we have another opportunity for worship, this time around tables in the Hub Cafe, a cafe church at 6:15 on Thursday evening for a cup of coffee and cake, and we begin our time together of worship around 6:30, and we're normally finished about 7:15. It's a short time together, and again, a warm invitation to anybody who would like to come along and join in that. I'll leave you to read all the other intimations in your own time. Creator Most High, Ancient of Days, Love Giver, Life Giver, Liberator, you are worthy to be praised. You have chosen and called us. You have known us and named us. You have written our names on the palms of your hands, and you never forget us. You are our God, and we are your people. Name above all names, God of many names, we gather to worship. Our hymn is 161, O God, our help in ages past. Come now to God in prayer. Gracious God, you are Lord of this beautiful day and of every day. We gather to give you praise. Loving God, you are the source of all love. We gather to give you praise. Eternal God, you are the source of peace. We gather to give you praise. Today, gracious God, we come not simply to praise you, but also to remember. We remember that in Jesus you have called us to be a people of peace, to love our neighbour and our enemy as ourselves. We remember your faithfulness to us throughout the generations and how still today your promise remains true. We remember also, loving God, the times when we have failed to be faithful and peaceful people. We betray your hope in us and our trust in one another. We falter in our faith and are unwilling to change. We compromise the justice we should seek and hinder the peace we could make. Confident of your promises, assured of your faithfulness, held by your grace, we seek your forgiveness. Today, Lord, may our worship honour those who gave and continue to give their lives in the service of their country. May the remembering we do today strengthen our commitment to work for peace. Help us remember our calling to be peacemakers at home and abroad, and may we never forget the cost that has already been paid. Restore our hope. Confirm our call to be your children, pilgrims together in truth, seekers of peace and of justice. God of peace that surpasses all understanding, we pray our remembrances and our hopes in the name of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who gave us this prayer to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can't have failed to notice as you arrived at church this morning our field of poppies out the front of the church. There are around 1,850 poppies planted outside. There are 100 poppies cascading down from the lectern here, and around another 100 poppies around the church. So just over 2,000 poppies, all knitted or crocheted by people sitting among you today, people in our community, and some even further afield. But you may also have noticed that there are four different colours of poppies. Did you notice that? Yeah, four different colours. There are lots and lots of red ones. There are a patch of blue flowers. There's a patch of purple flowers. And then scattered in amongst the red are some white ones. And some of you might be wondering, why aren't they all just red? Because red, the red poppy is the symbol that we normally see people wearing around this time of year in remembrance. Well, yes, red for remembrance, the colour, the red with the little black flower, the poppies that grew in the fields after the war was over. And I always think the red of the poppy is such a vibrant colour. And whilst we might associate the red with the blood that was shed, but also maybe the vibrancy that came afterwards when the ground recovered and came back to life and had these beautiful poppies growing there. Some people you might see wear a white poppy instead of a red one, or you may actually see people wearing a red and a white poppy together. And these are known as peace poppies. And anybody wearing a white one is someone who may associate themselves with a campaign for peace. It's worn by different people for different reasons, but very much a hope that we may not end up in a situation where lives are lost in war again. So white for peace. Now, does anybody know what the purple ones are for? Do any of you know what the purple ones are for? Has anybody told you? The purple ones are in remembrance too, but these are in remembrance of all the animals that suffered and died during war. Especially during the First World War, a lot of horses were used, and a lot of horses died in the war too. And so there's a couple of charities who promote a purple poppy as a way of remembering all the animals that suffered as well. And finally, we've got the blue flower. Now, this is actually not a poppy. This is a cornflower, a blue cornflower. And it's actually the symbol of remembrance used by the people of France. They have a blue cornflower. And it doesn't just there to commemorate those who died. It's there to commemorate those who or hurt or injured during the war. It's also there to commemorate the families that were affected by the war. And it's there to remember that children who are left orphans without mothers or fathers because of the war, and also to remember those who came back from the war. And many of us all have stories in our own family of people who came back from either the First World War or the Second World War or any of the conflicts since, and we know how that affected their lives. So it's good to remember them in our time of remembrance too. And so that's why we've got the different coloured poppies. Will you remember that? Will you? Do you want to take those through with you for when you're going through for your time together? Okay. We're going to sing together a hymn that was written, and it starts off with the words of a man who dreamed of a world where there would be peace, Martin Luther King. And so as I had a dream, a man once said, and it is hymn number 710 in your hymn books.
Testament reading is from the book of Numbers, reading at chapter 1 at verse 1. I'm reading from the Message, but you can follow this on the Good News Bible on page 131. Listen for the word of God. Census in the wilderness of Sinai. God spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai at the tent of the meeting of the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had left Egypt. He said, number the congregation of the people of Israel by clans and families, writing down the names of every male. You and Aaron are to register company by company, every man who is 20 years and older, who is able to fight in the army. Pick one man from each tribe who is head of his family to help you. These are the names of the families who will help you. From Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedeur. From Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. From Judah, Nashon, son of Amminadab. From Issachar, Nathanael, son of Zur. From Zebulun, Eliab, son of Helon. From the sons of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama, son of Ammihud. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. From Benjamin, Abidan, son of Gideoni. From Dan, Alazir, son of Amishalad. From Asher, Padiel, son of Ochran. From Gad, Elisphath, son of Joel. From Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enan. These were the men chosen from the congregation, leaders of the ancestral tribes, heads of Israel's military divisions. Moses and Aaron took these men who had been named to help and gathered the whole congregation together on the first day of the second month. The people registered themselves in their tribes according to their ancestral families, putting down the names of those who were 20 years and older, just as God commanded Moses. He numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. The tribe of Reuben numbered 46,500. The tribe of Simeon numbered 59,300. The tribe of Gad numbered 45,650. The tribe of Judah numbered 74,600. The tribe of Issachar numbered 54,400. The tribe of Zebulun numbered 57,400. The tribe of Ephraim numbered 40,500. The tribe of Manasseh numbered 32,200. The tribe of Benjamin numbered 35,400. The tribe of Dan numbered 62,700. The tribe of Asher numbered 41,500. The tribe of Naphtali numbered 53,400. These are the numbers of those registered by Moses and Aaron, registered with the help of the leaders of Israel, 12 men, each representing his ancestral family. The sum total of the people of Israel, 20 years old and over, who were able to fight in the army, counted by ancestral family, was 603,350. We turn now to our New Testament reading, and it's from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 15 at verse 9. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you: love one another. Thanks be to the Lord for these holy readings. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Let us pray. creating God whose silence is louder than all war and whose longing for justice and peace is stronger than any weapon. We meet you here in this place of remembrance because that is all we can do. Creating God who weeps for those who have no time to remember and who enfolds those who have much, we meet you here in this place of remembrance because that is all we can do. Creating God who calls us beyond silence into lives of peace, beyond memories into lessons learned, beyond the cost into the value of those killed, we meet you here in this place of remembrance because that is all we can do. So take us to the silence and then beyond silence, into words that claim this world is loved and doesn't need to live like this, beyond the silence into a truth that holds all war to account, beyond the silence into a living valued by the sacrifice made, beyond the silence, so be it. Amen. I invite you now to please stand. Let us remember before God those who have died in war for the sake of justice and peace, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of humankind. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Beyond words, beyond the battle, beyond the outcry, lies silence. For what words and what warring and what anger has words enough? It is sacred, this silence, holy, this remembering. For only silent remembering can carry enough pain and truth together to whisper at dawn, it is enough. We sing together hymn 702 in our hymn books, Lord, in love and perfect wisdom.
Thank you.
waste. Waste of muscle, waste of brain, waste of patience, waste of pain. Waste of manhood, waste of wealth, waste of beauty, waste of health. Waste of blood and waste of tears, waste of youth's most precious years. Waste of ways the saints have trod, waste of glory, waste of God, war. So wrote Geoffrey Studdart Kennedy, also known as Woodbine Willie, perhaps the most famous British chaplain during the First World War. His nickname was a reference to the seemingly endless supply of Woodbine cigarettes he would produce and offer to the men he met. The colossal statistics of casualties and death on the Western Front and in all the theatres of war during 1914 to 18, together with the even greater circle of bereavement and grief, are so daunting as to be almost meaningless. Chaplains, padres, played an important role and continue to play an important role in the armed forces. I know from my own experience how much respect ex-servicemen and women have for their padre. As padre to the 2nd Battalion Highlanders Army Cadet Force, it is the ex-servicemen and women who understand exactly what myself and my colleagues' role is. The role of padre is to be alongside the people they serve with, to be a listening ear, an independent listener, a shoulder to cry on, a source of support. The best way to describe what we do is to say that we lurk with intent, there if needed. During the World Wars, padres like Woodbine Willie did more than lurk with intent. They went with the men and women into the darkest of places. They were right in the middle of the trenches, on the battlefield. They were quite extraordinary people. They were witnesses to all the horrors of war. Horrors like that witnessed by Captain John Crombie of the Gordon Highlanders, who wrote to a friend, "As for the morals of the war, they are horrible. For instance, listen to this. When you come to a dugout, you throw some smoke bombs down and then smoke the rest out with a smoke bomb so that they must either choke or come out. Now, when they come out, they are half blinded and choked with poisonous smoke, and you station a man at the entrance to receive them. But as you only got a party of 9, it would be difficult to spare men if you took them prisoners. So the instructions are that these poor half-blinded devils should be bayoneted as they come up. It may be expedient from a military point of view, but if it had been suggested before the war, who would not have held their hands up in horror?" John Crombie was killed in 1917, aged just 20 years old. Another Scotsman, George MacLeod, became a captain in the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. In 1918, he was awarded the Military Cross for his part in the infamous Battle of Passchendaele. This included an action in which he assumed command when his commanding officer was killed. And in the words of the official citation, he showed conspicuous gallantry and devotion to duty as adjutant, volunteering to go out and do duty in the hastily organised line of defence when no company officers remained. He carried out his duty as adjutant as well and was of the greatest assistance in keeping cohesion. In that action, 15 out of 20 officers were lost and 330 out of 400 men failed to return. He was also awarded the French Croix de Guerre. After the war, George MacLeod became a minister in the Church of Scotland and came to prominence as founder of the Iona community, and as a foremost pacifist and campaigner for social justice. In light of that later career, the accounts of his time on the Western Front acquire a special significance. To his sister from the front at Ypres, in 1917, he wrote this. When you think that next week will bring in the fourth year of the war, now and again one almost feels hopeless, and that is usually just before breakfast or some such other unprintable time. After dinner, one realises that there must be something that is going to turn up somewhere, somehow, which will clear the clouds away. I have heard it said that a man comes out of this war with a very real religion or no religion at all. That is a very common saying here nowadays, he went on. Personally, I think that any man who sees this war must come out with a very real religion or cut his throat. The pain of war cuts deep. Families were and are forever changed. In this month's Life and Work magazine, a minister colleague describes how her family were affected. Barbara writes, France, 7th of September, 1918. Dear Mrs. Quigley, I'm taking the liberty of writing this note to express my deepest sympathy with you in the loss of your husband, who died fighting for the cause and liberty on 27th August. D.N. Craig, 2nd Lieutenant. My grandfather, Thomas, or Tommy Quigley, was an Ayrshire man of good Catholic stock. He was a member of the Royal Flying Corps, the forerunner of the RAF, and yet he is recorded as having served with the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders, and he died as a member of the 1st 6th Battalion Seaforth Highlanders, a regiment raised in Dornoch, the opposite side of the country. This letter signalled a huge change in the life of Mary Ellen Quigley's young family. There was little support for widows and orphans, and she was left with a three-year-old daughter, Mary, and a son of 13 months, George. Mother Quigley had to provide for her family, and so she ran a number of bakeries and dairies in Glasgow. Her baby son was sent to live with brethren grandparents in Blantyre, and the link with the Roman Catholic Church was lost. Fast forward 25 years to the Second World War, and that little girl, Mary, received a similar letter saying that her husband had perished by what we would call now friendly fire, leaving her with three small children, whilst her baby brother George was fighting his way through Italy. George married a Yorkshire Congregationalist, and I was born in 1953. A snapshot of one family defined by their men at war, she concludes. And it is for families like the Quigleys, young men like George MacLeod, forever changed by war, for padres like Woodbine Willie, that we never forget, and each year come the 11th day of the 11th month, we remember. We remember lives given, lives changed forever, and the sacrifices made by many in the pursuit of peace. Today marks 100 years since the signing of the armistice. And yet, you might ask, 100 years, and what have we learned except to kill and maim even more? To gaze as millions flee their lands and their livelihoods with nowhere to call home. To watch as nations ramp up their arsenals amidst war of words. 100 years and we remember the stench of fear and death, the lives lost, the bodies damaged, the minds destroyed, the families broken by humanity's wanton desire to win at all costs. 100 years and 100 more. Lord, we must never forget, not just the sacrifice and the suffering, not just the scars and the loss, but there is no victory without humility, no winner without grace, no justice without peace. We sing again, this time our hymn is 712. What shall we pray for those who died? third reflection this morning comes from the words of Woodbine Willie in a poem he wrote entitled The Suffering God. If he could speak, that victim torn and bleeding, caught in his pain and nailed on the cross, has he to give the comfort souls are needing? Could he destroy the bitterness of loss? Once and for all, men say he came and bore it. Once and for all, set up his throne on high, conquered the world and set his standard o'er it, dying that once, that men might never die. Yet men are dying, dying soul and body, cursing the God who gave them their birth, sick of the world with all its sham and shoddy, sick of the lies that darken all the earth. Peace, we were pledged, yet blood is ever flowing. Where on earth has peace ever found? Men do but reap the harvest of their sowing. Sadly, the songs of human reapers sound. Sad as the winds that sweep across the ocean, telling to earth the sorrow of the sea. Vain is my strife, just empty, idle motion. All that has been is all that is to be. So on the earth the time waves beat in thunder, bearing wrecked hopes upon their heaving breasts. Bits of dead dreams and true hearts torn asunder, flecked with red foam upon their chrisman chests. How can it be that God can reign in glory, calmly content with what his love has done, reading unmoved the piteous, shameful story, all the vile deeds done men do beneath the sun? Are there no tears in the heart of the eternal? Is there no pain to peace the soul of God? Then must he be a fiend of hell infernal, beating the earth to pieces with his rod. Or is it just that there is naught behind it, nothing but forces purposeless and blind? Is the last thing, if mortal man can find it, only a powder wandering as the wind? Father, if he, the Christ, were thy Redeemer, truly the first begotten of the Lord, then must thou be a sufferer and a healer, pierced to the heart by the sorrow of the sword. Then must it mean not only that thy sorrow smote thee once that upon the lonely tree, but that today, tonight, and on the morrow, still it will come, O gallant God, to thee. Swift to its birth in spite of human scorning, hastens the day the storm clouds roll apart, rings o'er the earth the message of the morning, still on the cross the Saviour bears his heart. Passionately fierce, the voice of God is pleading, pleading with men to arm them for the fight. See how those hands majestically bleeding call us to rout the enemies in the armies of the night. Not to the work of sordid, selfish saving of our own souls to dwell with him on high, but to the soldier's splendid, selfless braving, eager to fight for righteousness and die. Peace does not mean the end of all our striving. Joy does not mean the drying of our tears. Peace is the power that comes to souls arriving up to the light where God himself appears. Joy is the wine that God is ever pouring into the hearts of those who strive with him, lightening their eyes to vision and adoring, strengthening their arms to warfare glad and grim. So would I live and not in idle resting, stupid as swine that wallow in the mire. Fain would I fight and be forever breasting danger and death forever under fire. Bread of thy body give me for my fighting, give me the drink thy sacred blood for wine. While there are wrongs that need me from the righting, while there is warfare splendid and divine. Give me for light the sunshine of thy sorrow. Give me for shelter the shadow of thy cross. Give me to share the glory of thy morrow. Gone from my heart the bitterness of loss. We continue to worship God, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we offer these our gifts to you. We pray that they may be used to further the kingdom work of peace and justice here in this place and further afield. Amen. We sing together hymn 721, We Lay Our Broken World, hymn 721. We come to God once again in prayer. This prayer was printed in this month's Life and Work magazine and was written, it just simply says, by a padre. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Most holy God and Father of all mankind, hear our prayers for those who strive for peace and all who yearn for justice. Help us who today remember the cost of war to work for a better tomorrow. And as we commend to you lives lost in conflict past and present, bring us all in the end to the place of eternal rest and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. Holy God, the protector of all who trust in you, grant to the armed forces of the Crown and all who seek to do your will courage, loyalty, discipline, integrity, selfless commitment and respect for others, so that the assurance of your presence, the knowledge of your love and the guidance and gift of the Holy Spirit be enduring. Bring healing and wholeness to people and nation, so that mercy may rule and your kingdom come. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, all-powerful and ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storms of war into the peace of your presence. Grant that we, being faithful till death, may receive with them the crown of life that never fades throughout our land. Make us mindful at the day's end and in the morning of the love of God. May the touch of his hand and the guiding of his Holy Spirit make us ever thankful. We will remember them. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgiving for all whom we remember this day. Fulfill in them the purpose of your love, and bring us all with them to your eternal joy, in rest and in peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 260, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, hymn 260. Listen to the silence. It is the space of all memory, priceless. Silence is not a moment or even 2 minutes. Silence is a way of listening beyond the noise and fear and hope, and taking those things and giving them hope. Let us live with more silence, that we might hear God and each other more. It is the way to peace. And go knowing the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, upon you and with all those that you love, today and always.